Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello and welcome to Epochs number 17, Roman Britain part 2 with me, Bo, BB Dade, joined by Josh Firm.
That's me.
Got Josh on the firm today. El Firmarino. If you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Nice Big Lebowski reference there.
So we're going to do Roman Britain part 2 because we didn't really get round to it all last time, did we?
Yeah, we got a bit caught up in the Caesar stuff, but I mean, as it's the part of that kind of history that I know the most about, I was probably interjecting quite a lot. But this time I'm excited to learn a lot of things because I don't actually know about the Roman conquest of Britain.
Oh, cool. Well, no, I'm happy to, more than happy to fill you in and anyone out there who doesn't know it in detail. It's a little bit messy, though. It's not really straightforward where there's just one sort of main event and then it's all done with. So it's sort of staggered and, as I say, a little bit messy. So, we can go through some of the main details after Caesar left in 54 BC. So first of all, there is quite a hiatus for a while. Nothing really happens until about 40 AD, which is the age of Gaius Caesar, or Caligula, as he's colloquially known. So that's quite a big gap there, isn't it?
It's almost 100 years, isn't it?
Yeah, give or take. The historians tell us that it wasn't, that they didn't want to do it, but there were just more pressing things that happened. So, for example, Augustus, just after Caesar, he ruled for a long time, 40-odd years. Apparently, he did have it in mind to go back to Britain, to revisit Britain and make Britannia a full colony of Rome.
But that would add to his legitimacy as a successor to his adopted father, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of great men whose fathers were also great men, you kind of want to try and outdo him if possible. I'm thinking of the massive smile on George Bush Jr.'s face when he won his second term. Because, of course, Poppy, his dad, never actually achieved two terms. Anyway, bit of an aside. But Augustus could never do it because there were just more pressing issues. One of the things Augustus is sort of known for a bit in terms of foreign policy is putting some sort of limits on the empire. Different emperors at different times had different feelings about that. Hadrian is known for trying to put limits on the empire. Trajan, not so much. In the ages of Julius Caesar, they did think that Rome was sort of destined to rule the entire world, or at least the entire known world, whereas Augustus realised that perhaps that wasn't possible or even prudent. Nevertheless, we are told he had designs on Britain, but other things got in the way. For example, Augustus, kind of famously, one of his generals, Varus, lost a few legions, three legions, I believe, in the Teutoburg Forest.
Of course, yeah.
Cut to ribbons there, which set them back a long way for quite a long time. So anyway, it wasn't until Caligula in about 40 AD that a real concerted effort was tried again. But it was sort of abortive. One of the things people may well know, probably know, is that Caligula didn't actually invade Britain. He got to the shore and then decided to sort of abandon it and collect some shells instead. Do you know that? Do you know this story?
I've not heard about that before.
Okay, cool. Well, in Suetonius, who does the life of the 12 Caesars, he doesn't talk about foreign policy and armies and individual battles all that much, because he's more interested in just the life of the men, the individual Caesars themselves. But we do get some details. So in Suetonius, he says about Caligula's attempt to invade Britain. He says, quote, "In the end, he, Caligula, drew up his army in battle array on the shore of the ocean and moved the siege engines into position as though he intended to bring the campaign to a close. No one had the least notion what was in his mind when suddenly he gave the order, 'Gather shells.' He referred to the shells as plunder from the sea due to the capital and to the Palatine," their hills in Rome. So plunder that is for Rome, basically, the seashells, "and made the troops fill their helmets and folds of their clothes with them, and commemorated this victory by the erection of a tall lighthouse, not unlike the one at Pharos," which is near Alexandria in Egypt, "in which fires were to be kept going all night as a guide to ships. Then he promised every soldier a bounty of 100 denarii and told them, 'Go rich, go happy,' as though he had surpassed every standard of generosity." And that's it. That's all we get in Suetonius anyway.
So what's your perspective on that? Because that's very unusual behaviour.
Well, one, it seems Caligula was clinically mad, it seems. There's a bit in here I was rereading the other day where it says even Caligula knew he had some sort of chemical imbalance in his mind. I don't phrase it like that. But it says even he was scared by his own, when sometimes he'd have periods of lucidness. He sort of knew that he was insane. And even he was scared by it. I think when people say Caligula's memory has been sort of unfairly maligned, that's probably true. It's almost certainly true to some degree. But I also think there's no real doubt that he's really had some issues.
And so there's that. It certainly sounds like it.
So there's that. There's also some people have said the idea that, well, it's just a lot less dangerous. You know, you're sort of throwing the chips high. You're rolling the dice by having big battles and invasions. And you can avoid that risk. It's like an attempt at risk management, just to not have to have battles.
Well, it kind of sounds like that. He's trying to divert their attention by saying, oh, these shells are really valuable. And I suppose it's a very literal way of him trying to suggest that they're not going home empty-handed. In a strange way, nonetheless. But I suppose they literally have things in their hands, albeit seashells that aren't very valuable. But that was what immediately came to mind to me.
Well, that's the other thing we mentioned in the previous epochs, that there's this idea that the ocean, the great ocean that bounds the earth, is something to be conquered, just like any other bit of land, that you can conquer it and best it in some ways. And you're seeing Gaius's mind, in Caligula's mind, by collecting these seashells, he was somehow doing that. You know, he wasn't really bettering what Caesar had achieved or sort of formally making Britannia a colony or anything, but he was beating the ocean. He had bested the ocean somehow.
I mean, it's probably some achievement to cross the channel in boats that are designed probably for the Mediterranean as well, otherwise relatively calm compared to the sea around the British Isles.
Mm. Tacitus, in his pamphlet, it's not really a book, called The Agricola, or The Life of Agricola, who's a man called Agricola. We'll get into that in a moment. But we've got just a sentence or two here on that, because it's only short. It's only sort of about 30 sides long. But he says, "The Emperor Gaius unquestionably planned to an invasion of Britain, but his impulsive ideas shifted like a weathercock, and his grandiose efforts against Germany had come to nothing. End quote. That was the other thing. Caligula had tried to have big battles and wars in Germany or along the Rhine and the Danube for glory, but they didn't really come to anything. So he thought, you know, Britain is at sort of easy pickings, so we'll go there. But as I say, he sort of retreated at the last minute and collected some shells. So yeah, there's that episode, which is kind of funny and weird, and I mean, it kind of that does kind of encapsulate Caligula in some ways. Just well, yeah, it says his ideas shifted like a weathercock. Yeah, he didn't seem to be able to keep focus on anything for very long.
Certainly couldn't describe him as particularly determined, I suppose.
No. And although his father, Germanicus, was a great general, and he'd been raised in the army, I mean, that even his moniker, Caligula, Little Boots, because he was given little military-style boots when he was a little boy.
I know, he hated that nickname.
Yeah, you wouldn't call Caligula to his face, no way. Wouldn't dream of it. even though his relationship with the army was really quite close... he's not a marshal. He wasn't a marshal leader, was he, in any way? So there's that episode in 40 AD, and it wasn't until 43 AD when his successor Claudius returns, and this is much more concerted. This invasion attempt of 43 AD is sort of the main one, the big one. That's when Britain is really truly invaded properly for the first time. So that's under Claudius. In Tacitus's Agricola, he says, it was the late Emperor Claudius who initiated the great undertaking. He sent over legions and auxiliaries and chose Vespasian to share in the enterprise, the first step towards his future greatness. Tribes were subdued and kings captured, and the finger of destiny began to point to Vespasian. End quote. Because Vespasian goes on to become emperor himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting actually to think how many emperors were in Britain or visited Britain at various times. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, actually, that there's a fair few, more than you would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, even Constantine was in York, in Boricum, when he got news that his father was dead and that he was therefore a Caesar. He was in York at the time. I mean, it's just funny to think. You don't think of Constantine the Great, this figure that sort of dominates, straddles history, sort of the late Christian or early Christian period, late antiquity. He was in York commanding cavalry in sort of the north of England. You don't think of it necessarily. But yeah, there's another passage here from Suetonius on that. He says, quote, Claudius's sole campaign was of no great importance. The Senate had already voted him triumphal decorations, but he thought it beneath his dignity to accept these and decided that Britain was the country where a real triumph could be most readily earned. Its conquest had not been attempted since the days of the divine Julius, and the Britons were now threatening vengeance because the Romans had refused to return some fugitives. Sailing from Ostia, Claudius was nearly wrecked off the Ligurian coast and again near the Chochades Islands, probably pronouncing that wrong, but made port safely at Marseille. Thence he marched north through Gaul until reaching Gesoriacum. Don't know where that is, I'm afraid. Crossed over to Britain without incident and was back in Rome 6 months later. He had fought no battles and suffered no casualties, but reduced a large part of the island to submission. His triumph was a very splendid one, and among those whom he allowed to travel to Rome to witness it were his provincial governors and several exiles as well. The emblems of his victory included the naval crown, representing the crossing and conquest, so to speak, of the ocean, which he set on the gable of his Palatine home next to the civic crown. End quote. So a few things there. Again, it was sort of thought of that it would be easier to win a triumph in Britain than on the Rhine.
I think they're probably right there as well.
Yeah, they were.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin-star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.